We're joined on the line by Umi Abdullah for the weekly edition of Between the Cracks. Welcome to the program. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi to you, Mufti Yusuf, and the listeners of Radio Islam.
Jazakumullah khair for your time on the program. First and foremost, we'll pick up on the issue of Ramadan TV, a precarious future. Tell us more.
When I look at these headlines about Ramadan TV, I'm so grateful I'm South African and that we have such a semblance of a spiritual atmosphere in the month of Ramadan. Anyhow, over 80% of Egypt's original TV content airs during the holy month of Ramadan. So we're not talking about ordinary shows, we're talking about the original TV content, and then they replay it throughout the year. So the holy month of Ramadan is nothing short of an arms race. Advertisers, channels, producers do whatever it takes to push up ratings. So Ramadan in Egypt has become synonymous with high budget, groundbreaking commercials, ads. Coke tries to outdo Pepsi, Mobile Neil tries to outdo Ittisalat and Vodafone. But things are changing, and I don't know whether it's a change for the better, but viewers are spilling over onto the internet and it's ballooning production costs, and it's trying to outpace revenue from the ad revenue. So channels and advertisers are saying we now need to explore new ways to stay relevant. And the Egyptian producers are saying that 2016 will be a make or break year insofar as looking at whether Ramadan is the time to roll out original content. So that's just one thing that I thought we could focus on.
Interesting perspective on that. Now, the next issue is that the corporate balkanization of nation states.
Okay, so let's look at the term balkanization. Balkanization is a geopolitical term. It's used to describe the process of fragmentation or division of a region or state into a smaller region or state. So we talk about the balkanization, for example, of Europe. We talk about the balkanization of Syria. We talk about the balkanization of the internet. Now, this has to do with corporate balkanization. It came up with an update that the Pulitzer Center did this week. And they say that control over territory has always been considered the fundamental characteristic of the state itself. But what happens when historic levels of territory are given over to corporate interests? So in 2012 in Honduras, the Honduran government attempted a radical economic development program called Model Cities. And they decided that they would take government land and sell it to corporates. And those, that land would then have their own laws, their own tax systems, their own judiciary, their own police. It would be a corporate sovereign within a state, complete with discrete citizenship. So, Mufti, it caused lots of controversy in 2012, but now it's back on the agenda. So they say that it has worked before, this balkanization of a physical space in the interests of corporate power. In India, it's worked in Lavasa. It's worked in Vietnam. It's working in Hanoi. Hanoi has a bulging amount of gated communities. It's worked in some parts of Italy as well, where Olivetti, the typewriter company, originally tried to build an ideal human city for its workers. So that's something to keep an eye on. I wonder how that will turn out.
Staying with the issue of corporates, PepsiCo and Indofoods linked to abusive labor conditions.
So there's this report that was released this week by the Rainforest Action Network, and they say that PepsiCo and one of its subsidiary, Indofoods, is linked to abusive labor conditions. Child labor, hazardous working environments. It has to do with palm oil. Palm oil is edible vegetable oil that comes from the palm fruit, and it grows anywhere where it's hot and rainy. And PepsiCo needs approximately 427,500 tons of palm oil each year. And the people that work are children, they're women, they don't get paid, they work in very precarious kind of situations. And they say that this is a subsidiary, Indofoods. They don't need to fit the standards that Pepsi needs to fit. So these children and women and men are being exploited. Now the timing is interesting because it's just so happened that PepsiCo has handed over the Clinton Foundation, Hillary Clinton's foundation, $8 million in grants. So you look at when these findings are released and these reports are released, and you think there's always some political agenda behind it.
Then, one for one, action saves us from being a hapless ummah.
We are at a time of the year where we're making so much of dua, and we sometimes feel that when we make our dua, then it's just supposed to come from the sky. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, magically rain down whatever our magical wishes are. But we are an ummah of action, like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, i'malu, you should carry on doing deeds, because whatever you have been created for will be made easy for you. So if you look at examples in the lifestyle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and of the Sahaba, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to physically go out and fight Badr. He made the dua, but he had to physically go out and fight. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted victory. Maryam alayhi salatu wa salam, she needed some sustenance. So Allah ta'ala told her, huzzi ilayk, you need to shake that tree and then the kajul will come down. There's some sort of action that's required. It's not just going to magically fall down. Ayyub alayhi salatu wa salam, he was so sick and he was so ill, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, kick the ground with your foot. Some action was required for that healing water to come forth. Musa alayhi salatu wa salam, he left Egypt and he was in a very, very, he was helpless. He was feeling like he was under threat and pressure when he moved towards Madian. And when he saw Shu'aib alayhi salatu wasalam's daughters needing some assistance and help, he automatically helped them. And then he made the dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, Allah, I am so needy for whatever favors you send down to me. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used that action that he had done previously to send him that rahmah and that mercy. So while we are praying and we're making lots of dua in this month of Ramadan, let's also not forget, we are not a helpless or a hapless nation. We are a nation of action, and we should be motivated to do as well.
Very relevant and pertinent. May Allah give us the understanding. Jazakumullah khair for your time on the program.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.